And turn to Ephesians 1. And we'll take a little bit of time on some of the discussion questions that Pastor prepared for us, but I want us to collectively reflect a little bit on this first chapter of Ephesians, and specifically the verses that we looked at today, verses 15 and following. And because I suspect that many of you have some thoughts and some reflections on what is said, and what is said in these verses is a bit difficult because it can seem a bit abstract, right? It can seem a bit removed from you know, what we know about our day-to-day interactions with each other and at work and stuff like that. But let's read through a few of these verses together, and I'm reading from the ESV. And just get a bit of context here. Paul says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So as we look at this passage here, and most of you, if not all of you, probably not all of you, most of you were in the morning service to hear Pastor walk us through this passage. But let's say that you were crafting a devotional or a sermon or whatever the case may be, a Bible study lesson, right? And you know, every good Bible study and lesson has to have that here's what you got to do part about it, right? Okay? So, look at this passage and tell me, what's the driving, you got to do this part of this passage? So kind of look down through it. What do you think? What is this passage doing for us? How is this passage helping us as believers? What is it doing? What is some of the real salient truth in this passage? Can we summarize it? Brian, yeah.
I think throughout the passage, Pastor brought out quite a few things, but mm-hmm. in with the summation or with all the things that he's gone through in all these verses, really the last verse, to me, kind of sums it up where Christ is all in all. Yep. He's everything that we need.
Right.
In every situation, and you know, he rises to that level. Well, you know, he's there. He's there for us.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's something to be great thankfulness for.
Absolutely, good. Okay, other thoughts. We're trying to record this, so if we can use the mic. That'll be good. Grant's got some insight for us.
I wasn't here this morning, but I heard a good message too.
Yep.
But in verse 23. Where he uses the expression, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And my understanding of that is an expression concerning his redeemed people that's unique to the church. And I think that's important for us to remember in any of these New Testament epistles.
Yep.
And there was a famous preacher that made a statement February 20th, 2011, to make the church only a piece of our lives and not the whole is a terrible mistake. And that preacher was Joel Pacina.
Oh, my. I don't remember that.
I write things down.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Now he's going to pay attention.
What did I say?
Yeah, I'm just teasing you, Brian. To make the church only a piece of our lives and not the whole is a terrible mistake. And I guess as I'm studying for 1 Corinthians, which is...
I'll be writing things down that you say.
Oh, yeah, you do that. But in this day and age, I tell you, we were visiting our son Chris's church. Steve Brower is the pastor. And when we see what's going on in our churches today and with our preachers and missionary leaders and our own families dealing with one right now in our family that over the last 5-6 weeks, what's happening to marriages and everything else, I have a real burden on my heart that, quite frankly, to run 120 people in the morning and run 40 or 50 at night and run 20 for prayer meeting is a huge mistake. And that's why I wrote this statement down to you, made, Joel, because I think making our fellowship of believers needs to be pressed on us and our young people as a priority.
Yeah.
And I believe that's part of what Paul is getting at here in this passage when he ends it with who fills the all in all.
Yep. And he's really driving. I mean, Ephesians is driving, and we'll get to this, so no, spoiler alert. It's driving towards the church and what the church is and the importance of the church, right? He's really focusing a lot on the person of Jesus Christ, right? Jeff's got some insight.
I think that you said, what's the key takeaway? What do we do with that? I think this morning it was, be one of those.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big, a person who has a big faith, and he expands a little bit on what that big faith is, but the takeaway is, be one of those people in your church.
Right. Well, I mean, Pastor drew a lot of attention to verse 15, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love, two huge things, right? Believers have faith, and they love. Love is what characterizes them. Because I've heard of this, I've seen this, I have no doubt in my mind that this is you, you are people of faith, and you have love towards the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And Pastor's takeaway was, you be one of those people that just... moves others to praise God. So a question we can discuss here a little bit together is, can you think of individuals whose lives cause you to turn to God in praise whenever they come to your mind? Can you think of people that way? Okay. What are those kinds of people? What has God done to... So you're thinking of this individual, perhaps you have a particular person in mind. What is it about that person that makes you thank God? It just kind of drives you to say a quick prayer of praise to God for this person. What is it about that person? Yeah. Okay. Unselfishness. Excellent. What else? What are the marks of grace? Okay. Fruitful life. Okay. Faithfulness. What else?
Many of you probably don't remember, is Grandma Clark. She came to the church. She lived in Spring Valley. And she moved up to here because Dr. Clark was her son, and she moved to be near him. Right away, she found a church. And she was probably 85 when she moved up, or 80, real older. But she started to come to church, and we were taking turns picking her up, different church members. And she just served where she could at age 80, and she became such an important part of the family of believers, a prayer warrior. And then she went to the nursing home. At the nursing home, she was like working at the laundry, what could she do for all those? And she was pretty frail before she passed. And and I just, it was such a testimony for my children to be able to have her minister to my family, even though she is older and way past, she still was serving and still being a minister.
Yeah. And I think it's so appropriate for us to look at other believers and say, okay, is God's grace evident in their life? How can I thank God for so-and-so because of what he's doing in their life? That's very appropriate. I find it interesting that, you think of those people that just, you look at their life, you ponder them for a few seconds, and you're driven to thank God. Maybe it's somebody who has recovered from a season of sin, and they've repented and turned to God. That's God's grace in their life. Maybe it's somebody who you look at their pedigree, you look at their heritage, they have no spiritual heritage, they have nothing that ever pointed them in the direction of Christ, and here they are, a faithful servant. Okay, that's God's grace evident in their life, right? But how about every other second, third, fourth generation believer who somehow has carried on a tradition of faithfulness to God and who has trusted God like their father and their grandfather and their father, grandfather's father, right? Isn't that God's grace as well? I mean, we are one generation from losing our children to untold evil and wickedness, right? So, I mean, we should be able to look at one another and say, man, I am so happy because God's grace is at work in your life. And that should be enough to get us through the week, right? But look at what Paul says here. He says, I give thanks and I remember you. And then he goes almost imperceptibly, he moves into this sort of prayer and wish that God would do something for them. So you think about these people and you say, man, God's grace is at work in their life. Exciting. Okay. Now, how do you pray for those people? Is there anything left to pray for those people? Right? You know, absolutely. He says, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Having the eyes of your heart. I didn't know my heart had eyes. Okay. You get what they're saying, though. There's an analogy there. There's this word picture that's talking about a spiritual reality. Okay? The eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, and what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And he goes on and on and on. Somebody unpack that for us, or unpack a piece of that for us. How do we pray for those believers in whom God's grace is evidently at work? What are some discrete things that we can pray for these people? In a sense, we should pray for each of us, one another, right? Wayne.
One thing I think that sometimes we forget about is that the individuals who are really doing things, Satan is really going to be working on them. And we need to pray that they are able to withstand. They'll probably get Satan himself rather than one of his little imps.
Yeah, yeah. Why would we ever take the spiritual stability of each other for granted? Right. Excellent. More thoughts, Wayne, or you done? Yeah. Other thoughts? Unpack a piece of what Paul is saying here. God may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened.
I guess the part that stuck out to me in this section is just continued prayer for them to be guided by God through everything, because, as he said, the way is straight and very narrow that leads to Him. So even someone who's on that path right now, one false step and you're off. So His continued guidance and grace in their lives.
Yeah. Okay, good. Other thoughts? How should we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in whom the grace of God is evidently at work? You can pray this passage. It might take you a long time to get your mind around what Paul is saying here. This is some pretty high and lofty stuff, right? But this is, you know, remember, Ephesians is quite possibly written to people that Paul doesn't even know, and he expects them to get it, you know? Maybe not the first reading. Maybe not the first time the letter is written, but maybe subsequent times as they meditate on what he's saying here, it is his hope that these readers will come to understand more and more what he's saying. That they can understand what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Pastor made the point to us today, I think it was a very, very timely point, that the whole power of the spirit realm is kind of lost to us as comfortable Western secular Americans, right? We have no concept of the spiritual battle that is out there, and it's very palpable in certain parts of the world. Maybe what kills us as believers is our naivete regarding that, right? Okay, what else can you unpack from this passage, though? How do we pray for one another? What are some things that you can pray for believers? Brian.
Well, I think from my own personal life, I'm thankful for the directory that we have.
Yeah.
Because I bring it with me to work.
Great.
And
everybody hear that?
I do.
Bring the church directory to work. It's great.
I bring it to work, yeah. And I open it many times throughout the day and just plain pray for our families. Mm-hmm. Pray for our people, because we don't know what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And many times we won't know. But that just praying and asking God to work in their lives and to bless them and to continue to help them be faithful. There's so many things that you can keep praying them for, but you know, God brings those to your mind, and just going through the directory is just a blessing there for the people that God's brought into our family here.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. What are some things that believers can understand, or that this passage is developing for us? What are some things that believers who are growing need to increase in, need to grow in? This passage is sort of charting out these new domains in which a believer is supposed to grow. In other words, the most mature believer still has room to grow. There's still a bigger shirt out there for you to fill in, right? There's still a bigger body of knowledge that you can fill your mind and your heart with. What are some things that Paul is speaking of that a believer can learn?
Well, this even ties into one of the people that I thought of immediately with who I couldn't praise God for. But there was a lady in our church that I grew up in who she would talk about heaven like she knew what it was, you know. And so the part where it says that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And I don't know if that's actually referring to like heaven necessarily, or whether the inheritance is sanctification. I don't know. But it just made me think that when somebody has lived a full life and is still walking with God, they feel the reality of heaven in the next life.
Yep. Good. Excellent. Heaven is always portrayed to us as a reality that we can anchor substantial hope in. Right? Grant has some insight for us.
In verse 18, and as I said, I wasn't here this morning, but that's a hard phrase for me to get my mind around, but the riches of his glory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how does that look in our eyes? And then to be considered as, of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, the fact that Jesus Christ would put us as brethren on an equal plane with him, and the inheritance, because I know I look at my own life and, you know, why in the world would God put me anywhere on a plane with Christ and allow me to be a part of the inheritance that we have? So to me, the riches of his glory kind of puts a very high goal for us to pursue, to understand that.
Yep. Excellent. More thoughts? That's great. I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I think we're struggling getting our minds around what Paul's saying here, right? Right? I mean, it's one complexity, one layer after another of wonderful truth here. But he's putting it out there as though it's ours to grow into and ours to appropriate as a way of thinking and a way of living. And I guess I would just propose that when we meet to pray together as believers on Wednesday, right, or meet to pray at any point in the day, privately or corporately, as Brian has recommended us do, you know, let's pray for people's spiritual well-being. And let's recognize that that, you know, one of the funniest commercials I think I've ever seen. It was the most simple one, okay? But it's a guy sitting here at at a computer screen, right? And he's clicking, 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 clicking. And his wife behind him says, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I finished it." "What did you finish?" "I finished the internet." I mean, it was dumb. It was, you know, but it was funny, and it was. I think it was talking about blazing fast internet, right? I mean, you get the fastest internet, you know, you'll run into one problem. You might finish the internet, right? Which is just, you know, that isn't going to happen, ever. Can we ever finish the? Are we going to ever reach the outer extents of our understanding of God? Are we ever going to finish this Christian thing? Are we ever going to be clicking along in our Christian life and say, "Man, there's nothing left for me to do. I'm going to get a hobby. Right? I figured it out." Right? No. I mean, aside from life getting in the way, God is just too grand and too glorious and too amazing and too exalted and too high. And He's given us so much of Himself that we're never going to run out of opportunities to grow in our knowledge and enjoyment and appreciation and understanding of Him.
For a person who was just saved,
yes,
and say the same prayer,
yes.
It's right. Basically rolling out the glory of God in the gospel.
Yep. Okay, here's a term. This passage is maturity agnostic.
Yeah.
Okay, it has nothing to do with where you are on the continuum of spiritual growth. This is what we should be praying for each other. Okay, and I think that if we have a hard time thinking of individuals whose lives cause us to turn to God and praise, it may be more of our own problem than it is the lack of people that God is doing this in, right? Brian.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, when Pastor talked about this morning, I'm going, well, who do I talk about? You know, there's so many different people that have had that kind of impact in our lives over the years. And as we're talking, Karen brought up this Mrs. Clark, and I thought of when I was just a little kid down in Stewartville, there was Grandma and Grandpa Seehusen. They were in their 90s when I was just a kid. I mean, they were just old. And one of them couldn't hear, the other one couldn't see. But they knew, I mean, they spoke German. They knew basically what each other needed. I mean, they lived by themselves. There wasn't any such thing as a rest home for them. And they died weeks apart from each other. And I think of this passage here, and I think of the phrase here, the spirit and wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Mm-hmm. And I think of Northland and how much I'm blessed by this church by just the simple phrase, to know Him more. Mm-hmm. I mean, this couple knew each other. And for me to know God more, you know, is just the ultimate to keep growing day by day.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. Yep. Excellent. And, you know, teens, let me just tell you something. You will bless us in no greater way than to try to get a hold of some of this stuff, right? You can realize that God is out there to be enjoyed and celebrated and to make your own. You will bless us in no greater way. You'll make us no happier. And I think we should all be a delight to be around because we recognize that God is at work in one another's lives, right? I think it'll make it a joy to be together, a joy to come together. And I think that when we start to see God's grace in our lives, we'll kind of do this flip that Paul does, right? I thank God every time I think of you, and I pray that you'll grow and grow and grow, and you'll increase and be more and more and more in love with God and understand the greatness of His power and the greatness of His working. And it just comes with time, and it comes with God's grace being meted out to us in great measure on a daily basis. Right? So, any other thoughts? We were going to talk about the problem of evil, but I don't really care to. So, we're going to table that one because that's a whole nother monster. But I think these are important things to meditate on. And let's pray for each other this week, huh? By name? Try to develop that practice. And let's just not pray only for the broken bones and the and the colds and things like that. Let's lift each other up, okay? Let's definitely pray for those significant ailments that bother us, because behind all of those are spiritual battles, right? But let's pray and lift each one up, recognizing that all of us can be a casualty of our own sinfulness if it isn't for the grace of God that's coming in and breaking into our lives and putting a stop to ourselves and causing us to recognize and appreciate His power at work in our lives. Good? Any other thoughts? All right, Father, thank you for your love and your blessing. And Father, I thank you that you've given us your word.